Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. We've been talking about this a little bit with Brian Musard. The federal government now has released those new nutrition guidelines with some notable changes from the previous ones, as we'll talk about here. Meat is back on the menu. We'll take a deep dive into what those guidelines are, the science behind them, why better nutrition is now considered one of the keys to the prevention of chronic diseases, good mental health as well. Dr. Jana Hibbler, a Bozeman nutritionist, joins us to explain the new standards and talk about the foods we eat and don't eat. They're an integral part of you living a healthier, longer life. That today on Voices of Montana. Yeah, we're going to talk about nutrition here. Something that we think we know a little bit about, but and every time I talk about it, I realize, wow, there's so much more to know about it. And this is a part of our process, I think, in the world we live in today, where we have to take control of our own healthcare. Whether it's good advice from medical professionals, consider all that as well. But it is still up to you to live a lifestyle that leads to a healthy and affordable healthcare lifestyle. We're going to just get right into it here and welcome our guest here, a nutritionist from Bozeman, Montana, studied at Yale, Samford Medical, Dr. Jana Hibbler is joining us here now. Good morning, Dr. Hibbler. How are you doing?
Good morning. So glad to be joining you today.
Thank you for coming alongside here as well, because there's just I'm excited about understanding what these new standards are, why they were changed, what we were missing, what we're going to get into here. So you've been doing a lot of talking, Jana.
Hey, I tell you what, I cannot believe we are finally back to where we should be. Beef at the forefront. And I got to give a shout out to Remnus' Angus Beef out of Dillon, Montana.
Yep.
Their beef is the best, and they are the reason I am here today. So bringing back the beef here.
There's a lot of things to talk about here, but I'll go back to this, the old nutrition guidelines versus the new nutrition guidelines. This started in the 80s, where low-fat everything, and they said 6 to 11 servings of grains daily, fat and cholesterol discouraged. Sort of a one-size-fits-all approach, which we know does not work. And there was little focus on gut health or absorption, which right up your alley with the IV project.
Yeah, you're speaking my language here. You know what? It's real sad because a lot of Americans got scared into eating the actual foods that create health, right? So healthy fats and healthy proteins that actually we have now found and proven that grass-fed beef can improve cardiac outcomes. So we're talking increased HDL, the good kind of cholesterol, and even decreased LDL, the bad cholesterol, when here they've been told forever, don't eat that. Well, actually, that was the one thing missing to help their heart health.
Let's go into this. What's the science behind this? Okay, you say we have now proven. Don't tell me, show me.
Okay. So basically what we have discovered is that all those studies back from the 80s and 90s that told us that low fat and red meat is bad, it comes back to the quality of that meat. So yes, if you are going to McDonald's every day and eating a burger, that will contribute and increase the risk of heart disease. Now, if you're eating grass-fed beef, that has a completely different profile that will actually improve and decrease the risk of heart disease. So it's really important. We always say with weight loss at my clinic, it's not about the calories, it's about the chemicals. Well, it really has to do with the quality of the meats and fats you're eating. The other thing I like to mention with alongside the meat issue was the prior pyramid talking about low fat, that caused an issue where people were eating such little amounts of fat that they weren't able to feel full. And so instead of feeling what we call satisfied with their meal, they would then eat a tiny little low-fat meal and then still be hungry. So then they're reaching for an entire bag of chips, a huge dessert. And actually, if they would have just eaten a whole avocado and some grass-fed beef, they'd feel full and satisfied. Their blood sugar would be stable. Their heart would be stable. And then they don't need anything else after that, right?
Yeah.
So it's really so exciting to see that this food pyramid has flipped. It has showed us, no, actually, like, we don't want to eat that many, like, grains. We actually want to predominantly eat meat and fat. So I don't know how you're feeling about that.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I didn't really pay attention to those guidelines anyway, because I didn't really feel like, you go back and you look at, and Brian Musard was on the program a little while ago to, you know, talked about this, pointed out the correlation between some, changes in our nutrition guidelines and the rise in chronic disease. And now, when I search for it, 90% of U.S. healthcare spending goes toward chronic disease, and our nutrition has played a big part in that.
Yep. And that's what I specialize in, is nutrition and the prevention of chronic disease. Or if you do already have chronic disease, hope is not lost. We're able to reverse chronic disease with nutrition and lifestyle changes. So that's where, this new pyramid, it is medicine. Food is medicine. So what we're putting into our body every single day. I'm wondering, do you have any challenges with the new pyramid, or what are you most excited about?
I just think people have to take, better care of their own health, better control of their own health care. So, when know that you're eating poorly, then, mm-hmm. You should recognize there'll be consequences in that down the road, you're going to feel those. There is a connection here to consumerism and marketing as well, especially when it comes to, the high grains. Those recommendations for high, a lot of grains in your diet, that has kind of gone out the door. I mean, talk about that. Talk about what that did and then limiting that, what that will do.
Yeah, let's talk about the grains, because I think that God made everything so incredibly beautiful. Like, wheat, I grew up in the Midwest before Montana, and so, I grew up rolling in wheat fields. Like, wheat in itself is beautiful and God-made, but unfortunately, man came in with ego and decided, I'm going to modify all of these crops, I'm going to spray chemicals, and all these toxins, which we're finding, let's really simplify this and break this down. Thyroid health has been the most impacted disease that I've seen occur from all these grains. And so, earlier in my career, we would test by blood, okay, are they having an allergy or an intolerance, an IgE or IgG reaction to this wheat protein? Well, for the longest time in my earlier career, we thought, oh, wow, like all these people have celiac and Hashimoto's and all these allergies to wheat. Well, now what we're finding, and the good doctors will say, you may not necessarily have an allergy or an intolerance to corn or wheat or soy, but because it has been so modified and sprayed with chemicals, that is what's causing confusion and inflammation and autoimmunity to your body. So what I'm predicting, that with less grain intake or us looking for better quality grains, I would suspect disease rates to go down. Absolutely.
A lot of this has to do with the processing. And we have been kind of, the American diet is very full of processed foods.
Yep. And I am a big fan of throwing those all out the door. The only things that we should have in our kitchen are some sort of protein, so meat or fish, fruits, veggies. And if it's out of a package, you probably don't want to eat it. Even now, even if it's quote unquote healthy, it may not be, because a lot of these processed foods are filled with seed oils. And we have found that seed oils are really causing inflammation and have now been associated with heart disease. So a lot of obesity and metabolic syndrome as a result of these processed foods. Yeah, it's pretty awful.
The new guidelines, though, they recommend fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. So, don't take grains out of your diet, but just look at how they're being processed. And so, you know, give
the
us
quality.
How do we find quality? How do we know what's, you know, we look at the packaging, what's in there that tells us this is overprocessed?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. We really don't want to see any other ingredients, but that whole ingredient, right, than itself. A lot of marketing, they're getting really tricky. They stopped saying canola oil or vegetable oil, and they started even saying palm oil recently, or safflower oil. I mean, but probably if it doesn't just say rice, there's a good chance, you know, because these pre-made rice packets then have seed oils in them. I'm like, why would they do that? I've seen bags of nuts and seeds or trail mixes that they put seed oils in. They're hiding wheat in ground, beef or cheddar cheese. Like they're trying to sneak it in everywhere. So like you said, you really have to advocate and look and read. But I'd be looking for non-GMO labels, maybe gluten-free labels if you're intolerant to that. Good manufacturing practices. I mean, the tricky thing though here in the U.S. is that I personally, with my own health, I went to find whole grains, but some of them, even the organic ones, you got to wonder if your body is still having gut health issues from it. Well, is the wind like blowing over from the organic or the inorganic field to the organic field? You know, I don't know what has been contaminated, which is the scary part. But the good news is yes, if you can find good quality and you don't notice symptoms after you eat it, you're not feeling sick and bloated or tired, then it's probably okay for you. And I like that you mentioned the importance of whole grains and the fact that whole grains are a great source of fiber. And we do need some amount of carbs, so to say, to produce serotonin. Yeah. It sits in our gut. And then it goes to our brain and makes serotonin. And, you know, this is how we sleep better and maybe feel calm and happy and motivated. So you are right. Like some whole grains can be good in the right quality.
Dr. Jana Hibbler is with us, a Bozeman nutritionist and also the owner, but certainly an operator for the IV Element. And you can find more about that, theivelementproject.com. We'll talk about that. That is like nutrient absorption, and there's been some new science and new ways to absorb nutrition through this as well. So I think that's kind of fun to talk about. But let's get back to good fats, bad fats. What are they?
Fat is the most important. Really, fat is the most important nutrient for our body because all of our nervous system is lined with a myelin sheath. So basically, there is fat that surrounds your nervous system. Your brain is mostly made of fat. Your brain will not work without fat. And that's why if we go back to the 80s or 90s where fat was not allowed or not encouraged, low-fat diets, I see an increase in anxiety, depression, insomnia, ADHD. And so actually to like mention with Trump signing this new milk program, bringing whole fat in is going to be so pivotal for our children because giving them fat, adults need fat, but kids really need fat because their little brains are developing. And I guarantee half these kids won't need ADD medications once they're having whole fat introduced back into their diet.
Nutrition, digestion, lifestyle, personalized care, food as medicine. Strong advocate for that is our guest today, Dr. Jana Hibbler, nutritionist based out of Bozeman there, runs the IV Element, and it's to find out more about that, theivelementproject.com. That's more about nutrition absorption as well. An interesting concept. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Jana, thanks again for coming on. Got to hit sugar here. And then Donald Trump is announcing a major change. He signed a bill, so it was legislation that was passed that overturns a directive from former President Barack Obama that placed limits on the provision of higher fat milk in school cafeterias. I noted today that there is a visit from some Department of Health and Public Human Services officials in Pennsylvania at a Pennsylvania school, and also the Ag Secretary is there to talk about opening up school lunch programs back to whole milk. I think that's fascinating. Maybe talk about that. That's something else that is changing and hopefully right, for the better.
Absolutely. The Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act is so exciting that was just signed. It is in conjunction with the Make America Healthy Again. And a little fun fact, you may not have known, I am the Make Montana Healthy Again chair for Gallatin County. So I take this very seriously, and I'm really excited for our kids to decrease, you know, anxiety and ADD and be in the classroom so they can learn. When we have healthy fats, the brain can be calm and focused, and I think this will make a huge difference in how our children are able to learn and develop in the school system.
Talk again about the science and your confidence in it. You know, how do we find out, as you just stated, that fats like that with, you know, absent from your diet can lead to these things?
Yeah, for sure. There's certainly a number of blood tests we can run. But clinically, I also just like to get the feedback from the teachers and the parents and then witness the kids themselves, just in a calmer state of mind. I will say, like, whole milk itself won't do the trick, but it is a good standard that we are setting for families to really understand the importance of fat. Because I see that not just with whole milk, but with eating avocado or coconut, nuts and seeds, and just really emphasizing the importance of bringing these back into these kids' diet. I wonder, I'll let you lead, like, where you want that to go.
Well, I'll leave it at that as well. I mean, we've just learned an awful lot. And again, for me, it comes down to the more you know, the better, hopefully, you can respond with your lifestyle choices when it comes to nutrition. And here's what, you know, Cody and I were talking about a little bit during the break is that, you know, we have these cravings, carb cravings or sugar cravings. Those are hard to overcome, again, for those, you know, we've had this diet for so long. Maybe talk about that. You know, get on to sugar here, because I know and I've known for quite some time and have felt it. You know, the more sugar you reduce from your diet, the better you can feel in a lot of ways.
For sure. Sugar breeds inflammation, and inflammation breeds chronic disease and cancer. So for longevity, we certainly want to be limiting sugar. Now, two forms of sugars that are acceptable would be pure honey and maple syrup. If it's not those two, though, we do want to avoid other forms of sugar. And the way we can do that is resetting the gut. We work in first phase one to eliminate the bad type of bugs that are making you crave sugar. And once we do that, we're able to change the microbiome, so the type of bugs that are in your system, so you no longer have those sugar cravings.
That sounds easier said than done.
Well, that's why you come to the experts for that. That's not something you can just Google.
Well, we'll talk about that process. Talk about people who out there who are going, you know, I've been trying to do this all my life. I can't seem to get over a hump. I mean, you hear that a lot.
Yep. So, you know, if you're my patient, I'd have you come into the clinic and we'd run a stool analysis so I could learn about the type of microbes or bugs that you actually have in your gut. We'd also look at your intestinal lining. Are you able to absorb your nutrients? But, you know, the easiest, most actual step you can take at home if you're listening today is go ahead and run yourself on a fast, meaning just water or maybe bone broth. The science shows 72 hours you can reset your insulin and your processing of your sugar. So if you're craving these sugars, obviously gut health is going to be at the forefront. But if you're not maybe ready or committed to going through a whole health program, which can look like 3, 6, or even 9 months, then start with fasting. Fasting will clean out your system faster than anything else and reset your body's markers for how it communicates with glucose.
That's a great suggestion. Again, another one that's easier said than done. Because I've tried it.
I do it once a month. I do a 72-hour fast once a month. You know, it prevents cancer, and it's just, I eat really clean anyways, but it's just a really good little clean out for your body. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm taking care of you. It's like going to get your oil changed in your car. There's certain things we just want to do to make sure we run really smoothly and efficiently the rest of our life.
Yeah, interesting, you know, aspect here too. The 72 hours. So, you know, how do you recommend people get there? You talked about maybe water or bone broth. What do you recommend for people who, I don't know, is there something they can cheat with? Can I have a carrot?
Yeah. Yeah. If you've never done a fast before, I definitely recommend starting small. Start with a 24-hour, see how you do there. But yeah, little cheat things that can help you get through or help your body adapt to this type of lifestyle is certainly bone broth. You could do that like half a cup three times a day. Bone broth has amino acids to help our brain and our muscles function so we don't fall over. We certainly, you know, I'm not giving out medical advice today because certainly one size does not fit all. Right, and if someone has glucose disturbances or adrenal fatigue, you know, there's certain people that aren't good candidates for fasting. But generally, you know, decent health, we could get away with some bone broth. There's also things like branched-chain amino acid powders. I personally would rather do an injection of amino acids because those are at a 99% availability versus a supplement can be as low as 10% absorption rate. But yes, if we're trying to do things at home, green tea can definitely help. And really, fasting is biblical. It goes back to Bible. Like, it, yes, is a physical journey, but it also is really beneficial for connecting with spirit and God because when you're fasting, you don't feel great. So you really have a chance to think about stuff and talk with God a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I did it. And it was very helpful in that regard. What about the energy level when you're fasting? I mean, we talk about our linemen, yesterday or a couple of days ago, wind damage. You know, they can't have a 72-hour fast when they're out there on the line, so to speak. How do you manage that? You just can't pull away from your day-to-day duties either.
No, it's got to be a planned-out thing, absolutely. We don't want anybody passing out or falling over. I think, if you're not quite ready for a fast, it might just be good, and actually this reflects the new nutritional guidelines. Stick with just like the more carnivore, you know, I'm going to have some really good meat and really good blueberries, and that can be a good way to do kind of a mini fast. That'll still help with blood sugar regulation as well as killing off any bad bacteria in your gut if we do more just protein and fat and maybe some antioxidants like blueberries.
We're going to talk more about gut health and this absorption rate.
It's awful.
I got like about a minute here before we go to our next break here. So tee it up a little bit. But I'm reading supplements and food intake right off your website, the IVElementProject.com. Supplements and food intake can have as little as a 10% absorption rate. Is that why I have to eat so much?
Yeah, you have to keep eating to get all the same nutrients, right?
Yeah.
No, it's really awful. Gut health has been destroyed, and that's something when we come back from the break, we can talk about why are people's absorption rates so low. It's awful. Gut health is one of the top reasons people visit the emergency department. Everyone's gut has been destroyed because of all these processed foods from the old nutritional guidelines. So we're really hoping with less processed foods, less alcohol, there's going to be less emergencies and chronic disease, particularly hurting our gut health.
One of the things you can do if you're nervous about the cost of healthcare is take better care of your health. And there are a lot of ways to do that. Nutrition is a big one. We're talking about that today. Some new dietary guidelines they're in effect here for just a 5-year period, 2025 to 2030. Maybe they'll go longer, but that leaves, I think, the door open for some adjusting there as well. Real food and protein and discourage ultra-processed foods. There's a lot of places where you can find that as well. With Dr. Jana Hibbler here, for this next segment, she is a nutritionist out of Bozeman, and as she said, that chair of the Make Montana Healthy Again Committee, and I appreciate that. I really think that there's so much more, Jana. There's some low hanging fruit, and there's some higher hanging fruit, so to speak, that people can do for these lasting health outcomes. I want to get into it a little bit, but I want to mention this first as we come back to break here. We had Dallas Knight on from Operation Juliet earlier in the week, on Monday, as a matter of fact. And that's the group where she formed to really try to meet female veterans' needs. It felt like they were missed in a lot of ways for some of these veterans programs. And as she noted it, she's not wrong in that regard. She has an event on January 17th at 11 a.m. And this will be at, I think, your place, the Ivy Element downtown in Bozeman.
That's right.
Yeah.
I get to know all my friends.
Yeah, right? That's at 11 a.m. There's a parade at 10 a.m. Not for her, but why not? She said, and this struck me, she said, you know, she related her story as a female veteran and, you know, the challenges she had. She said one of the first things that was most helpful for her was getting her nutrition right. And so talk about that link, nutrition and mental health.
It's really quite amazing how much of an impact nutrition can make on mental health. And I got to say, you know, sometimes people need a pharmaceutical. But most people that have anxiety, depression, OCD, ADHD, PTSD, any of these things, there are so many other therapies that can have so much more of an impact without side effects. So particularly in this case, it's good to mention that there are certain cofactors, vitamins, even like vitamin D, that will play a role in making our brain chemistry, such as serotonin, dopamine, and our endorphins. And these, though, are really truly made in our gut. And that's why, you know, we've really emphasized gut health in this segment, because if our gut cannot absorb our nutrients, we cannot make our brain chemistry, so we cannot feel happy, calm, and motivated. And that's what Dallas is referring to. So things quick and easy that we can talk about: vitamin D, B12, alpha-lipoic acid, glutathione. These are all, you know, just like brain power, right in a little pill or maybe an injection. So, I've really helped a lot of people get off of SSRIs and Xanax and things they didn't really even need. IV magnesium could save someone's life. And it's just not even an option in mainstream medicine, which is really a crime to me.
You know, and nutrition has changed. Well, not nutrition, but the medicine of good nutrition, I think, has come a long ways. And you're kind of leading that in some areas when you talk about this absorption. So the IV, meaning hook up to an IV and what? So here I am. I come into the office there and I'm going, you know, hey, I might be 20 pounds overweight. And you look at me and go, you're absolutely 40 pounds overweight. How do you take that person from A to B to C to the outcome D, a healthier lifestyle?
For sure. Well, first question is do you want to heal? Because some people walk in thinking they do, but they're not really ready to. Mm-hmm. So that's always my first question. But yes, if we can run some testing, I'd love to get some good blood work done to find out what vitamins are we actually deficient in, and then how bad is it? A lot of people are severely deficient because our gut lining and microbiome will get affected when our circadian rhythm, so our sleep, is messed up. If you have a lot of stress, if you travel, if you eat processed foods or consume alcohol, those are the top five reasons I see people's gut health go sideways. And when that happens, we gain weight, our hormones get off, we have bad mood, and our mental health is really, really disrupted. So we might start with some blood work, and then I'm going to sit down and ask you a ton of questions and discover what is the missing link that your other doctors have missed. And that's my favorite is when people are like, oh, I've seen 10 doctors and they haven't been able to figure it out. And I figure it out in about 90 minutes.
Thyroid.
There's 10 years. So, yep. It's a really, really special type of medicine.
How do you come to a good balance? I mean, because I enjoy, a fine brewski once in a while, and every now and again, I might eat a little chocolate.
Chocolate's a food group, so we can talk about that if you want.
I'm all ears.
Okay. No, balance is key, though. What we're looking for, the goal is sustainability. It doesn't matter if it's the healthiest, most perfect diet in the world. Dear goodness, everyone, please stop measuring measuring your food or counting your macros. That is not a way to live. Food is supposed to be pleasurable and enjoyable, and yes, with balance. So I grew up drinking 5 pops a day, Faygo Pop, eating bologna, Sunny D, you know, and that's why I got into this. And I found it's not about taking away. We're not going to be stealing your pleasure from your life. We're just going to simply find a healthy alternative that will not harm your body. You can still enjoy food. We're just going to do it in a healthier way.
Tell me about how this IV element project works.
So food and pills can be as low as 10% absorption rate, which don't really get us anywhere if we're trying to induce a physiological change or AKA, you know, achieve a health goal. So we will do an IV. It might look like once a week for 6 to 8 weeks if you do have some serious health issues going on. And then after that, it's more like quarterly, just check-ins. Or some people, I actually favor even injections because they're quick and easy, a little cheaper price point, and an injection can go in your arm, your thigh, or your gluteal region. And it's 2 seconds. You don't have to sit there for a half an hour and get an IV. But other people come in to get an IV because we can do higher vitamin dosing in those, which is great. And then they also, it's 30 minutes of their day. They have to sit down. They have full permission, put your feet up, and maybe just relax for 30 minutes. So that's been great.
So, what are you doing for lunch? Well, I'm going to the IV element. Mm-hmm. Want to join
that's
me?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have moms, they plan their mom like play dates, so the kids will play while the moms are getting an IV. I have executives that leave the office, like instead of a smoke break, hey, let's do things that are good for our body. Instead of, you know, the smoke break, we'll do the IV or injection break.
That's very cool. I mean, that's the whole rechanging and reshifting the focus back to, you know, individualized healthcare plans.
I don't know about y'all, but I want to be around for my son. Like, I want to be around, like, we all have kids. And as the older we get, our nutrients start depleting at age 30. So unless you're actively putting vitamins back into your body, you are going to age. And so the only way to delay the aging process is to put lots and lots of vitamins into your body.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just about being around. It's being around with a quality of life.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you could be on 20 pharmaceuticals, so that doesn't mean you're dancing and having joy in your life.
Yeah, yeah, it's the wrong approach.
Yeah.
Let's finish up with wellness. I'm curious, as our medical community focuses more on wellness, are the insurance behind that is lagging, but it's getting there a little bit. Talk about that approach. You know, the affordability of healthcare is an issue. Wellness has been a focus for the industry, medicine and insurance. So where is it at now? How does it help?
Well, I think it's our hope with all of us doctors that with these new nutritional guidelines, that insurance companies will be forced to change their standards as well. But in the meantime, today, unfortunately, most people have to make the really hard decision. Do you want to be healthy or do you want to be sick? Because unfortunately, pharmacy owns insurance. Insurance own a lot of doctors, not me, but a lot of them. And if that's the case, then you are going to go down the sick care path. And there's no way around that. And then if you want to be healthy, you have to advocate for yourself and you probably are going to have to pay for your own health care. That means going and buying food, you know, is not cheap. Getting IV therapy, whether that's acupuncture, massage, like these more natural modalities that we actually know help you live longer. Unfortunately, today you have to pay for it. And so I make sacrifices in my own life where maybe I have less of certain things because I put my money into my healthcare. And so it's a choice that everyone has to make.
Time's up for you. I was going to ask you some final thoughts, but you just nailed it right there. I think those, those are super good. Find Dr. Jana Hibbler at the IVElementProject.com for more information on that as well. What's this Make Montana Healthy Again committee? Can people get involved in that?
Yes, please reach out. Text 503-396-6314 if they'd like to get involved. Montana's on a mission to bring healthy meat back, and I'm spearheading that. So I would love anyone's help.
Say that text number again.
503-396-6314 text.
All right.
Is the best way.
All right. Yep. Super. Thanks for what you're doing.
Mom. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Thanks for what you're doing. Appreciate you.
We'll talk again. Okay. Cause this is an ongoing thing. It certainly is.
This is huge. Yep.
Thanks, Jana.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.